We love the Breakfast Club on a Friday morning. We love it every morning on RSN 97. Let's not be silly about it. A big hour still to come. Brent Harvey about to join us as we go through around 14 and all the news in the world of footy for the week with the game's record holder in the AFL. And after 8:30, of course, Michael Felgate joins us on a Racing Pulse, or picks things up on a Racing Pulse. The Friday face-off is a very important competition on a Friday. It's a chance for our listeners to get involved with the panel, the expert panel we assemble on a Friday, and have an opportunity to win a wonderful prize. Now, last week, there was a history made with Michael Felgate breaking his long, long-awaited duck after such a long period of time. We never thought it would happen, but Blue Eyes finally got a win in the Friday face-off, which means everyone now has a win, which is good for business. And we need to open another category. Whitey, you've been given the task on the Friday face-off today. What are we playing for?
We're going to go for handballs tonight.
Handballs tonight.
Yes.
Righto. Friday night footy, Sydney Essendon, most handball. So the team can get thinking about who they want to select. And, of course, if you want to get involved in this from a listener perspective, rsn.net.au is the place to go and register for the Friday face-off. And this week we're playing for dinner and beverages for four people at the Meadows to be redeemed on any Saturday night, subject to availability. Includes admission valued at $360 for the prize for the Friday face-off today. So get thinking, team, for most handballs tonight for Sydney and Essendon. That includes you, Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, who joins us on the Friday footy preview for Essendon Mazda, certified Mazda Ute Centre with the biggest range of BT50s. See EssendonMazda.com.au. Morning, Boomer.
Yeah, morning, boys. And I think I've got the winner today.
Oh, that's enough.
It depends who goes first.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it that clear cut, is it?
Well, yeah, in reflection, Campbell's. I probably should have gone a different category.
Well, why didn't you?
I'd suggest Daniel Hannabury's up there. I'm not in this.
There's
am
a couple.
I?
There's actually a couple.
Okay.
There's a couple there.
There's one I'd really like. I know that much.
I think we might like the same.
Oh, Naismith. Yeah, I'd like him too.
Yes, Naismith, very good. Yeah, very, very good. Now, Boomer, while he was talking before about the world of the current player, you're the freshest meat in the AFL industry in this studio at the moment. Considering the situation we found ourselves in with Alex Fasolo a couple of weeks ago, and now yesterday we learned of the battles that Travis Cloke is going through. Is this the courage of players to come out and be more comfortable announcing this type of feedback, or is this a real problem for the game?
Oh, certainly I think it's courage, regardless of if there is a problem or not. I don't know if there's a problem, because it's a very small minority, but is that too many people in the game to come out? The game has changed half in a big way in terms of time at the football club and time you got to spend in meetings and things like that. And there's not a lot of outlet. I know at the Kangaroos, we get one day a week off, and the boys have to do some sort of work or study.
Yep.
There's also a thing called PD time, which is personal development time. And on another day, you get a four-hour block where they expect you to also, if it's study, continue your study. So you probably get one day and 4 hours. So 1.5 days off a week to participate in some sort of work or study.
So is that a 6 day a week, or is that a 5 day a week?
Well, it's a 7 day week, really, because you're playing football
on
the Saturday and probably recovering on a Sunday.
Right, okay. So have you actually got, because one of the text messages has come through asking for this to be answered by you, how many hours a week? Is there actually 40 hours, 48 hours, 46 hours? How many hours a week are you actually a footballer?
Well, you're a footballer 24-7. Yeah. If you're a good footballer and you want to go places, you're a footballer 24-7. And that's Contact hours, I haven't really put a number on it, but we can work it out really quickly. It's similar to eight. It's sort of 8 to 4. 8 to 4, what's that? It's 6, 7, what's that?
That's 8 hours.
8 hours?
Yeah. There you go. You two okay over there?
Yeah, no, we're going all right.
Did the calculator.
8 hours, you get lunch and smoke in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
No, so you're looking at 8 hours, 5 days a week, and 4 hours another day a week. So
is it, I'm interested in this, Boomer, is it the contact hours, or is it the accessories that go with it? Is it the world that goes with being an AFL football in terms of the scrutiny, the feedback,
and
the relentless conversation that goes around your
social media?
Yeah.
Social media now. There's not too many times you get an opportunity to really switch off. And I guess over the bye weekend that we've just sort of had, the 3 week bye weekend, guys can let their hair down and relax, and you end up, and a lot of players end up binge drinking, I reckon, because that's their outlet.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That's what happens. You just go and you just go, rightio, I can switch off for a week. Well, you don't switch off for a week. You probably train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
4 days.
Thursday, maybe, Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday off. But the scrutiny now and half when you were playing and I first started, there was, I don't know, how many reporters were there? And the game was getting covered on three pages in the Herald Sun. Now there is every single page you can flick through the paper and the last eight pages are football in the Herald Sun. There's social media. There's all these type of things. And yet, literally, don't switch off. There is not a time where you switch off other than probably sleeping.
So how do we become better, Boomer? You're in clubland still. You obviously were playing up until last year and back these days as a coach, as a mentor to a lot of young players. How do we get better to make it easier to balance their lifestyle out as much as we can while still making them, or not making them, but encouraging them to commit and to become that full-time professional athlete that you were talking about before?
So now that I've gone back and played some local football, I've got a little light bulb thing. I think less is more. Like, I honestly do. But obviously, you can't strip it back to two nights a week. I think the training schedule is probably a little bit too long during the day. I'm one for getting in there, working as hard as you possibly can, and then getting out and still having something going on outside of football.
Yeah.
So less is more, but it's got to be a fine balance. I don't think you can strip it back to, say, they're doing 40 hours. You can't strip it back to 20. You know, it could be 32, 33, just so you're getting that extra 6-7 hours off a week.
The difficult balance, Scotty, and I'll bring you in here about, say, for example, Geelong, who are a little bit more of an experienced football group. Because I know that Geelong don't have nearly the contact hours that a lot of other clubs, but if you're at Carlton, you're sort of going back to school as a young group are trying to work out a new way of playing under Brendan Bolton versus Geelong that they sort of talk about, oh, well, you know, it's half a day here, half a day there, and we turn up and play on a Saturday.
Patrick Dangerfield, the biggest selling point, and he's just thrived, is... So you play on a Friday, Boomer. You don't have to go into the club for recovery. You do it in the ocean, wherever. And sometimes they mightn't be required till Monday afternoon. There's some extraordinary thing. He can have 3 or 4 days off in a row. Yeah. And that's how Geelong have set it up. They've got a more experienced team than others.
I do understand that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that appealed to the best player in the game, how they run it. Because mentally...
There you go.
He's fresh right there. And... Yeah. But I understand, like you mentioned, Carlton can't do that because they're trying to teach them.
The thing is...
Well, the perception is they can't do it.
Yeah, like they should.
You got to remember, you get drafted, or used to be 17. You could get drafted at 17. I got drafted at 17. You're going from school, you're completing year 12, pretty much going in to getting drafted. So you've been told your whole life from your parents what to do.
You've
been told what time to be at school and this is what time you're finishing. To going to a football club, they're saying, this is what time you're starting. This is what time you're doing weights. This is what time you're doing boxing, yoga, meeting. This is what time you can go home. And then just a big build-up. There's no stimulation in terms of what you've got control over.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
And as well?
I think half, you know, we think of Beyond Blue, which is something that Jeff Kennett's been, you know, so passionate about, and it just seems to be coming more and more necessary, that, you know, those sort of support agents to be able to help not only AFL players, but just people in general. And I don't know why life's necessarily changing, but it is.
As soon as you were talking about the structure that the players were included with as soon as they walked into the system, Boomer, and even from school and being told what to do and this is where you are, when you are, I got thinking immediately, and I often think about this, that sometimes it's so structured that within an inch of its life that players don't have to take responsibility for their own lifestyle often enough, and they just fall into a routine of becoming almost robotic about their life because that's what's laid out for them, where they don't have to think too hard. The managers take care of their finances. It's just not a normal world. And I reckon that's a bit of a detriment to the game as well. Do you reckon that's could be part of it?
100%. It's so routine that it's too much routine. Like I said, you get told exactly what time to be there, and I mean, you're waking up. If you're 2 minutes late, there's punishments, there's fines now, there's, you know, for repeat offenders and all this sort of stuff. But there's no... I know a lot of people are going to find it hard to believe this, but, like, there's not a lot of stimulation in terms of mind and making your own decisions. Everything is structured. And for some people, that's fantastic. Maybe for the first 2 years. But then you've got to get out. I'm massive on our boys keeping a diary just so they don't let people down when they're trying to organise an appearance or something like that.
Yeah. Like little things like that. Paying your bills, you know. Paying your bills
things.
On time.
Don't get your manager to do it. You do it. Take some responsibility on that. These young kids live at home until they're 19, 20, 21.
You say that flippantly, Boomer. But
They can't.
A lot of AFL players have their managers paying their car registration, well, paying
absolutely.
Their bills,
right.
doing
it's
all
an
that
easy
stuff
structure, and there's no. You can wake up on your day off to what? What are you waking up to? Like some guys are waking up at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, just because they need. They just need that sleep in. They just need to relax and do nothing. I don't think it's a. I'll go back. I'll just say less is more. Being at the club land right now, local club, I reckon there's a balance, and clubs can strip it up. And I really, Scotty, I love what you said about Dangerfield. That was a selling point to go to Geelong.
Yeah.
Play on a Friday, go for a surf in the ocean on a Saturday as a recovery. Don't do nothing Sunday. Come in Monday, ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to go. That's the big thing, though. You've got to be ready to go. You have to be ready to go and give everything. But I reckon instead of being there for 6 hours a day, be there for four and a half, maybe five. But get in there and get out.
He's fascinating to talk to because he's big like you, training. Even if he's sore, or he trains. He says, I have to train. That's the one thing. Unless he's seriously injured. But I gather like you. You're half sore, get out there and train. He said there's so many young blokes who, oh, no, I feel a bit sore.
Well, you're training five times a week on the track.
He's massive on training.
Continuity, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you have all your time off. And
but that's where you improve. You've got to remember, how do you become a better footballer? And
for me, it
was on the track.
Yeah.
I very, very rarely missed a training session, and sounds like Dangerfield's doing the same.
Funnily enough, you're two of the best ever.
When you're training 5 days a week, some guys might look for that opening. You know,
of course they
actually
do.
Can't be bothered today.
Daniel Harford did that.
every session.
Less is more, Daniel.
Oh,
less
that was
could
my
be
theory.
More.
That was my theory. It worked for a little while, then I fell to pieces. Didn't work so well. I want to talk about Lindsay Thomas after the break too, Boomer. Things didn't go well for him last weekend in the VFL after an absence from a suspension. It happened again for Lindsay. I want to talk to you about how he sits at the moment at the Kangaroos. We'll obviously have a chat about Friday night footy as well, with Sydney hosting the Bombers at the SCG tonight, and then preview the rest of the round with Brent Harvey on the weekend preview, the Friday footy preview, thanks to Essendon Mazda on the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. There's been a significant development here in Adelaide. A coffee has arrived from Tom Ram. We're very, very pleased about that.
Nick Quinn's in Adelaide.
No, Nick
Quinn. Sounded like he was.
Former Adelaide Cup winning jockey Tommy Wren, big part of the program, of course, this morning. He's come up with a big, large latte, and that's a great result for everyone in this studio. It's just me in the studio, so that's the great result for all of us. Hey, Boomer Harvey's with us on the weekend footy preview, Friday footy preview, because there's plenty to talk about. But before we get into the game tonight, Sydney and Essendon team, I want to talk about Lindsay Thomas. You know him very well. He's one of your good mates, Boomer, from the Kangaroos. And was it four weeks since he got suspended, four in the VFL?
Yeah, I think he got three. But with the byes and everything there, Daniel, being five.
He came back last week and found himself suspended again. Boomer, how's he doing, Lindsay Thomas? Is this a sign of his frustrations at how his year's gone so far?
I guess it would be a little bit frustrating for him to miss 3 or 5 weeks and then come back and get another week. I don't think it was undisciplined or anything last week in the reserves. He actually had the football in his hand.
It's pretty dangerous. I reckon he's lucky to get one.
Well, I actually haven't seen the incident, but a few other people have said that to me as well.
I don't think it was a frustrating act. I thought it was a dangerous act, Daniel, but I don't think it was because of what's gone on over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, he had the ball, I've been told, and he made contact with...
Was it as bad as Luke Shuey or not?
Which one, Luke Shuey? Yeah, what did he do?
That one.
He's still smarting from...
I'm still
Luke
smarting
Shuey.
On him.
Oh, for the buff. Oh, Scotty.
But look, we'll go back to Lindsay, because in that 5 week period, we made it a goal for him to get super fit. Now he's changed his body shape. He's leaned down. I think he's lost about 3 or 4 kilos.
Wow.
But he's stronger in the gym. So the 5 weeks has been fantastic. He was doing cross trainers every single day.
Why has it taken this, Boomer, for that light bulb moment?
Sometimes it just, that's what it is. It just happens. But we'll stick on a positive for him, because he did go back for 5 weeks, and I know he was in contention to play some senior football.
Turner's out.
Well, I'm talking about last week. I know his name would have got thrown around at match committee, and he didn't get a game. He goes back now, plays a game in the VFL, unfortunately gets suspended for another week. Seen him on Monday and Tuesday. Monday was moping around a little bit, I won't lie to you. That's how Lindsay is, and that's how I would have been, and that's how 99% of everybody else in the world would have been if that same thing happened. But Tuesday, he was back in the grind, back in the gym, doing another cross trainer and doing weights, and had the smile back on his face. So he'll have this weekend off. We'll go watch the boys. We just mentioned Kane Turner's got an injury now. I'm not sure how long he'll miss, but I think a spot opens up for a natural half forward to come back in, and hopefully Lindsay comes straight back into the team. And I know his football is as good as anybody's at the Kangaroos, or as a small forward maybe in the league to get a game. And
probably,
continue playing.
Probably gains heart out of the inclusions of Swallow and Dore to a degree as well, that have been sort of off the radar for a little while and having to earn their stripes back in the VFL to get a game. So he's probably seen that there is reward for effort for those guys. If he can get some form and continuity, Boomer, that there would be a chance to get back in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't even think he needs to have a lot of continuity. I think he just needs to go out there and have a good game of football, have a really good blowout. And I don't think it would be too long before he's in. Or I hope not anyway, because I think he's at his best. I still rate Lindsay as one of the really good small forwards in the competition, who can take a great mark, kick a few goals, also a few points. But no, he's back. He's up and about this week. He's going to miss, unfortunately. He'll probably have the angry pills watching the game of football on Saturday night and knowing that he could have been out there, but he won't be.
What about the game of footy tonight, boys? Sydney and Essendon, SCG. The Swans, of course, their season is alive after that dramatic win last weekend against the Tigers. And Essendon continue to impress me anyway with what they've been able to do this year. And I'm still reserving my judgment, as we've discussed a few times on this program. But this is a fascinating game tonight. Mellican and Florent come in for Sydney, and Marsh and Jones go out, and McKernan and Langford come in for Myers and Hooker Whitey. We've talked about the importance of Cale Hooker and the flexibility he provides for Essendon, and that missing tonight is dangerous for the Bombers. But Sydney's record at the SCG this year has been woeful.
Yeah, it has. If you're going to ask me what's going to happen tonight, after what happened last night most of the season, who would know anything? Look, in my view, I think that Sydney's core midfield a lot of them are very senior players, are going to be the difference. That's why I'm believing that Sydney will win. If you just look at what, you know, Kennedy had a really quiet game against Richmond and then had a great last quarter and helped get them over the line. But when you add in Hannabry, you add in Parker and so forth, I think that's where they've got the edge over Essendon.
Boomer, what do you reckon about this one?
I'm the same with Whitey, and I say our boys, Whitey, because we've been on the Sydney bagwagon for a
while.
Our
boys.
Yeah, I'm going to say our boys. Yeah. I'm going to refer to them as our boys, but I must admit, if there's a team that's going to bother Sydney, I think it's a team with pace. And that's what Essendon's got and playing with at the minute. Fantasia, Merritt, Collier, Green. Who else?
Have they got pace, Boomer, or have they got the ability to move the ball quickly? I think it's a difference.
I think they've got both.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to go both.
Oh, I think they've got both. And I know we've spoken about this last week, I think it was, where Fantasia, Green, Tip and Woody, they get up to the mid part of the ground now, and they kick it over the back and they bolt forward. Now, that's genuine pace.
Collier
as well, at him. And Merritt's a 90-metre player. Every time he gets a ball, it's a 1-2, runs with the ball, takes a bounce, beautiful kick. So I think they've got both.
Do we have weather updates, Daniel? You're big on the weather.
I'm massive on the weather. I'm going to get that weather update for you. My concern for the Bombers tonight is that link player that has been so good to them, that connector. Like the James Stewart and the Hooker role. Hooker's not there, and Stewart might be, because of the dimensions of the SCG, might be sort of out of play a lot, depending on how well he plays the SCG. I'm not sure how many times he's played at the ground. He might have played a little bit up there, but I'm concerned that the structure, the way they've played, Whitey, we've talked about this a bit, might be affected by the dimensions of the SCG.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, it's surprisingly, it's not going to rain in Sydney tonight. It's actually 19 and okay.
19 kilometres per hour, the wind.
I think the thing for me about, if you take away all the stats and all the everything else, these are the games that historically Essendon hasn't been able to win. The game to really consolidate themselves in the eight, or really, really announce themselves, they don't tend to win them. But this is the moment for Essendon to really announce themselves, and I'm just not sure they're quite good enough.
Scotty, who wins?
Yet.
I'm going with the Sydney. I think
The Sydney.
That's what I noticed too.
The Sydney. I think Essendon, I know all the pace, I see all that, but surely Sydney, they've got their belief back. You'd think at home they'd rectify that issue.
Boomer, you're going Swans?
Yes, well, I am concerned about the Bombers' pace, but our boys, Whitey, will get the win and keep their finals live well alive.
Lovely to be with you on a Friday morning. Don't forget Mickey Blue Eyes coming up after 8:30 on a Racing Pulse. Have a bit of a look at the weekend's activity, and always a great show on a Friday. with Michael Felgate, who'll be a part of the Friday face-off too. We're doing most handballs tonight on the Friday face-off in Friday night footy between the Swans and the Bombers. I get first crack this week, which is very, very exciting. More on that shortly. But let's have a look at some of the games this weekend, boys. We had a look at Friday night's game before 8 o'clock. Collingwood Port Adelaide at the MCG tomorrow is intriguing. A couple of big ins for the Magpies. Reed and Goldsack come back in. Smith and Schoenberg go out. And Jasper Pittard, who has been talked about over here, he's got a big page article in the Advertiser today about his future. He's back in for the Power, and Pollock out with a hamstring. Your mate, Paddy Ryder, Whitey plays game number 200. Been a dramatic couple of years for Paddy, so we wish him the best of luck. But the Magpies are in this up to their eyeballs, aren't they?
I agree. Absolutely they are. The odds, I'm a bit surprised about. I mean, the issue with Collingwood, as we know, you look at the forward line, Boomer, and you go, how do they kick the goals? But the midfield's so good sometimes. With Collingwood, I reckon you either know early or you don't.
Yeah, I reckon that's a good point. But it's a good point, though, for people watching the games. You can just about read the Magpies in the first 10 minutes of the game. Not a lot changed. I mean, the outlier in terms of their form in that discussion, Scott, is, of course, the Hawthorn game where they're able to turn things around dramatically after quarter time. But I reckon you're right. I reckon you can pretty much tell the Pies straight up.
Reed's a big in. Reed's a big in. He's a bit of a swing man for me. I look at their forward
line. Where do you
want
to play him?
Well, you look at their forward line, DeGoey, this is the way they're named, never lines up like this, DeGoey, Fasolo, Hoskin Elliott, Brown, Broomhead.
Pretty much what they got.
Five smalls, one tall in Darcy Moore. So does Reed start forward or does he start back? It's interesting because sometimes that small forward line's worked for Collingwood, and if it's not working, Reed can go there. Something that I've been banging on for the whole season, when Collingwood are bringing the ball out of the back line, they've got no target.
That Darcy connector. Moore,
the connector, exactly right. The centre half forward, the one that hits up, the one that can take a pack mark, something to actual kick to. Darcy Moore's not that. He needs to stay at home a little bit more. And Reed does that for me. I think he's a massive inclusion for Collingwood.
Because they got Dunn and Goldsack back. With Port Adelaide, you only really got to take care of Charlie Dixon. They're pretty small as well. I mean, Trengove, but someone can handle him. Do you know what I mean? They're Goldsack, not overly
that's
tall.
That's why Goldsack's important for Magpies this week, because he can play on Trengove if he needs to, and Reed can be freed up as that versatile player, Boomer, you talk about.
Yeah, and Jeremy Howell, he can play a little bit of both. We know he
absolutely
can play on talls and small, so Goldsack does exactly the same, and Dunn takes a tall, and that's why I think Reed is a connector, especially on the MCG, such a big ground. They need to get out. They need to get out from halfback.
It's a great example of the evenness of the competition, that this is 4th versus 13th. So Port Adelaide in 4th, Collingwood 13th. And it really is line ball. You can't be sure. Mm. I know it's at the MCG, but you can't really be sure. Now, they met last year at the MCG. Port Adelaide did them by 60 points.
Oh.
And it was leg speed and ball movement that really got Collingwood that day when they didn't have the footy.
I reckon this is a statement game for Port Adelaide because they've beaten no one.
Yeah, that's right.
And if they announce themselves, I know Collins is a bit undermanned, but if they come to the MCG and go whack, because it's such a topsy-turvy season.
Port Adelaide hasn't beaten anyone currently sitting inside the eight. That's damning.
And Collingwood are not in the eight, but they're only two games behind.
No, but we know they're a good team. I reckon this is a statement game, and if they can't do it, Port can join their crosstown rivals.
And Pollack's a big out for Port. He's been playing. He's back to playing some really decent football.
See, Half, I'm of the view that I don't rate Port Adelaide as highly as a lot. And a lot of people just think, oh, well, there's this acceptance that Port Adelaide are one of the better teams in the competition. They're definitely going to finish in the eight and probably top four. I'm not sold on them even being a top eight team yet.
Yeah, no, well, I think the reference you brought up before about not being any team inside the eight has to give that a fair bit of merit. And we won't know any more about that tomorrow at the MCG either from a top eight perspective. But what we will understand a bit more about is, can they step up when the occasion encourages them to do so? Because I agree with Scotty, it's a bit of a statement game for Port Adelaide, and they need to win and should win this game of footy. But I don't think they will. I'd be tipping the Pies.
It's about Port Adelaide jagging a game away from Adelaide Oval. They need to do that from a purely mathematics point of view of getting into the eight. You know, they'll bank their wins at home a lot of the time, but they still need to win a couple of games away, and this is one of those that they simply have to win.
Are you tipping, Boomer?
I'm going to go with the Pies for this fact, Half. I just want the ladder to jam up even more. So if they win, they go from 20 to 24, and Port are still on 28 of sitting fourth, I think it is, on the ladder. So I'm going to go with Pies purely on that.
In this season, that's as good a reason as any. Scotty?
I'm on the Port statement bandwagon.
Yep.
I think they have to do it. I think they will.
You said that last week with the Saints and got them over the line, Whitey.
Thank you.
I'm with Port Adelaide purely and simply what they did to Collingwood on the bigger ground last year.
Well, it's a long time in footy. It's a long time in football.
Trends, but it was just trends. It was the way they did it.
Data.
They made Collingwood look pretty ordinary that day.
How's that for data? Let's look at the Bulldogs and Boomers boys, the Kangaroos, tomorrow night at Etihad Stadium. Bulldogs, they're a funny team, they are. Campbell and Redpath, two big units come in this week. They didn't play any a couple of weeks ago or last week. Jong and Boyd go out. Tom Boyd goes out with a calf injury, and Ling Jong, of course, out for the season with that knee. And three big ins for the Kangas as well. Good experience. Swallow, McMillan, and Dorr come in for Hanson, Anderson, and Turner. I was disappointed with Jed Anderson last week, Boomer. I've had a bit of a rap on him when he was at Hawthorn. He hasn't sort of delivered with hamstring concerns while he's at the Kangaroos. But he was really ordinary last week, and I'm not surprised to see him dropped, and I thought it was a great chance for him to really solidify his spot in the Kangaroos lineup.
Yeah, absolutely, especially we spoke about Lindsay before. Without that other small forward there, there's a half-forward spot. Jed's an interesting one. He's been injured a fair bit since he's come over to North Melbourne.
Yep.
I had a good chat with him during the week. I think he's just got to go back and play some, just back himself again. It looks like he's playing, and we all want to play to the structures and do that, but Jed Anderson, for me, has got flair. When he's on, he's quick. He can win his own football. He's very, very hard. But just looks like he's playing, worried about everything else outside just his game. So he'll get an opportunity to come back into the team, no doubt, after he plays a couple of good ones in the VFL. But I think Jed's just got to go back and say, what makes me a good footballer? And go there and just do that.
Scotty, for yes. You, your boys have been smacked the last 2 weeks by the Swans and the Demons, and they've announced that the two big boys are coming in. Is that an admission that they got the system wrong, the structure wrong?
I think it's I was trying to find a very fancy answer, but I think I can't explain what happened last week. Melbourne were just in their face. Melbourne were outstanding. Can North find that pressure? We've seen them do it before. But given how bad they were last week, you don't know what North will bring. I definitely think for the good of the Bulldogs, if they're going to contend, they have to find a tall target. Now, obviously, Travis Cloak's got his issues. I've liked Redpath when he's been in there, but he seems to get dropped pretty quickly. And Campbell, he was good when he was in as well. So this could be a blessing in disguise that Boyd's out and that he's had to turn to a taller setup.
Well, have they? Do you think they'll rally the troops after a bit of off-field discussion through the week?
If they can't rally, seriously, I mean, blowtorch, all that you guys have played, you know, when you got to batten down the hatches, it's one of those weeks.
Well, both teams are in the same boat. North Melbourne weren't great last week either. They played some really poor football, and I think Brad said yesterday in his press conference that they've gone away from their ball movement and they've gone away from their pressure that made them such a good team early on. And again, I know they weren't winning, but they were playing some really decent football. So I think both teams are in a similar boat. They both need to win, and I reckon this one's going to be a really good game.
First time there's pressure on the Bulldogs, though. They've had free hits because they're reigning premiers. We'll get it. We'll be fine.
Yeah. But
more pressure
this
on the Bulldogs.
Guys, we've either got it or we haven't.
Why did they got chopped up last week by the Demons with their ball use? The Kangaroos like to exit the ball from the congestion from the front of the pack with handball. They're the most forward handballing team in the competition. Is it dangerous for the Bulldogs this week, the way the Kangaroos might want to attack them?
I think 3 weeks ago, I would have said yes. I just haven't liked North Melbourne over the last 2 weeks. If you look at their scoring sort of dried up a bit, 72 and 66 points the last 2 weeks at Etihad Stadium. They were scoring a lot more freely than that before then. If you go back to when they met on Good Friday, it was only 3 points the difference, but I reckon North Melbourne were playing a lot better then than what they are now, and the Bulldogs have coughed and spluttered through the entire season. So I think with all things being considered, I'm with the Dogs, but North Melbourne, if they were to win, it wouldn't surprise me. But I just haven't seen North Melbourne play well enough over the last few weeks.
A bit going on at the Bulldogs, though, isn't there?
Yeah, that's okay. It's just rumour and innuendo, Brent. We don't deal with that.
As it all is.
But that's why it's such a big night for the Dogs.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to actually have respond to the outside noise. And I know the Dogs and all clubs say, we don't listen and all this sort of stuff. If they don't win tomorrow night, it's... all bets are off sort of stuff, I reckon.
Can I just say, great to see Andrew Swallow back too. I think going back, absolutely fantastic attitude, great leadership, and gets another crack this week. So fantastic to see him back in.
What role does he play, Boom?
Well, I think he'll come back through. I think he'll come back through the middle to his best position.
Well, Liberatore, Wallace, they're not super quick. You know, they're a good matchup team, for the Bulldogs. Yeah.
He does his best work in close, tackling and winning the contested football.
Whitey, who wins?
I'm with the Bulldogs.
Scotty?
The Western Bulldogs, Daniel.
Boomer, should I ask?
No.
Righto. I'm going the Bulldogs too. I was really disappointed in the Kangas last week. I expect them to be better, but the Bulldogs got a bit going on. They need this win more than the Roos do at the moment.
Across this sporting state, RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Not too far away, Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. David Gately is part of the team to go through tomorrow's racing. The great Gator. He's always good listening and a very good analyst as well. So that's part of Racing Pulse coming up shortly. Now, the Friday face-off not too far away with the team having made their selections. I got first crack today, and we'll get to them shortly. The reigning champ, Michael Felgate, got last selection. And it seems that that's pretty evident with his selection. But we'll talk more about that soon for the Friday face-off. If you haven't registered to be a part of it every week, go to straight to the website, rsn.net.au, and get involved. Boys, I want to talk about Richmond and Carlton. I think this is the most fascinating game for the entire weekend. If you look at it on the ladder, it's 6v15, and it's not very exciting. But considering the form of Carlton the last couple of weeks and the two huge wins, this being the first of four straight games at the MCG for the Blues, and of course, the situation that Richmond find themselves in, losing close games. And when we know the way Carlton are going to play this, Boomer, it's going to be tight all day. They're going to make Richmond earn every possible opportunity inside their forward half of the ground. Why do you think Carlton can win this game, or where do you think Richmond can win this game?
First of all, I'm looking forward to this game for two reasons, because half of the boys are at North Heidelberg Barrack for Richmond and pretty much the other half Barrack for Carlton. So the banter is unbelievable lead up, and then the winning team, the banter is unbelievable next week. So looking forward to that. But look, I'm really impressed with Carlton. I like the way they're getting coached, half. We'll take away from the players for a little bit. I love their tactics, and some of it's, yes, defensive by Bolton, but he's teaching them something. And I love the fact that they put eight behind the ball. They did it to North Melbourne, stifled up, got back into the game. They're doing it to other teams. I'm really liking it. On the other hand, I think Richmond are the big improvers of the competition in 2017. But I think Carlton's good players have been playing good. And I know Richmond, Cochin and Martin, these guys are playing well as well. But Cripps, Gibbs, Murphy, and then they've got the lesser likes of Wright, Silvani, these type of guys. I'm really liking it. Cruiser, who's, you know, the last couple of weeks have been outstanding. I'm really liking the Blues. I don't know why I'm leaning towards them, because I probably shouldn't, but they've been a little bit inconsistent. But I just think they can get the job done with their game style and the way they've been coached.
Whitey, we know the Tigers have had their struggles, the mental demons that come with this, because it's going to be a struggle all day long the way Carlton play.
Yeah, exactly right. There was a time where Carlton really worried Richmond, even when Carlton wasn't much good. But Richmond has actually won the last five times they've played, so I think that's important to recognise. I think at the end of the day, what you say is right. Carlton is going to make it really difficult for Richmond, particularly getting numbers back in defence, the way that they play. Richmond kind of at times got exposed last week and a few times now about not having that second tall forward. And I think with that, without the space for those younger, smaller players to do their craft, I reckon that'll stifle Richmond and make it hard for them to kick a winning score. So I'm leaning towards Carlton, but not with a great deal of confidence.
Can Carlton kick a winning score, though?
Well, that's the thing. I think what Harwick said during the week is true. I think it's going to be a low-scoring slugfest. It's going to be 12 goals to 10, that sort of thing. And it's just a question of who's going to show the composure at the end. And that goes down to leadership groups, as far as I'm concerned. And all of Carlton's leaders are playing well.
Scotty, where do you see this?
Is Richmond going to have a bad day?
Well, they hope not.
Well, they haven't. Do you know what I mean? No. They haven't had one all year.
So I'm not giving enough respect to Richmond, because they've been in every game they've played this year.
But sometimes that means there's one you don't. But I don't know whether Carlton have got the forward guns to ram that sort of advantage. I'm falling in love with Carlton, which is very odd for me to say. But I think Richmond, I'm still sticking with them. Jack and the boys, if they can avoid having a letdown, which you probably wouldn't think would happen against Carlton, I think they'll get it done.
I reckon there's plenty of people out there doing exactly what you're doing, Scotty, falling in love with the way the Blues are going about their rebuild and the way they're playing. And that was just further evidence last week against Gold Coast. I'm with you, but I think I said last week that the Tigers are a top four team. I still think they are. If they can just tidy up a few areas, I reckon they're a contender, the Tigers. And they've got enough in the arsenal with the way they play and their forward power and their defensive unit, which has been unheralded this year. We've got Rance and Asprey and Grimes are a great combo with the smalls that go around them. I think they're good enough to win this game, and they should at the MCG.
See, Huffy, look at what Carlton have done at the MCG. They've beaten Essendon, Sydney and Collingwood at the MCG. Now, I kind of put Richmond in that category of team, of the Essendon, Sydney and Collingwood, and for whatever reason, Carlton's beaten all of those sides. So it's a question of how high people rate Richmond. Have they really improved from last year, or like that Richmond think they have, or are they just in the mix?
And there's also Carlton, a young team, winning 3-4 in a row. You start to get into murky territory.
Yeah. Boomer, murky. Who wins?
Half. I'm going to call a draw on this one.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Oh, I can't do that. I'm going to call a draw, but I'm going to go with Richmond.
Hang on. You can't call a draw and then go with Richmond.
I think it's going to come a draw, but I know you guys are not happy with me sitting on the fence. So I'm going to go Richmond only just. But if it's a draw, you heard it here.
Righto. If it's a draw, you heard it here first. Scotty, who wins?
Richmond.
Whitey?
Carlton.
Carlton. I'm on the Tigers. Top four Tigers for me. They'll get the job done. Which means all we've got to do left to before we hand over to Michael Falgate is get our Friday face-off selections ready. This week's prize is a dinner and beverage package for four people at the Meadows any Saturday night, subject to availability, with admission included, valued at $360. Now, I get first crack because Blue Eyes is the reigning champ. And he gets last crack.
Where's my intro? I thought you had We Are the Champions.
No.
Just, we could play Trent Langscale if you like.
Yo, half.
Any more of that? More of that, please. That's great. I get first crack. Most handballs tonight. Friday night footy, Sydney and Essendon. I'm going for Josh Kennedy.
We
should have gone jocks, you blokes.
Go out on a limb.
Should have gone favourite out.
Can't do that.
No, favourite out. It's most handballs. Josh Kennedy's a gun. Whitey, you can go next.
Okay, I'm going Dan Hannabury for Lee Franklin from Maiden Gully.
Right. Oh, by the way, I'm playing for Ward Glennon from Maribyrnong for Josh Kennedy. So Ward, just getting the cue. Now, Rammer's texted in.
He has. You know where he's texted? He's having a seafood lunch currently at Santa Barbara, having been at Disneyland yesterday.
Oh, good spot.
And he's
Santa
going
Barbara.
For Brendan Goddard. Right. That is for Liam Hawkey of Bendigo.
He's cashed up Rammer, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Boomer.
How much has he got?
I am playing for Peter Thompson from...
British Open champion.
Yeah, Willard... Willard G.
And look who he's picked.
Willard G in WA. What are you saying?
No, there's a golf link here.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. And I'm playing... I'm picking Job Watson.
Tom Watson.
Tom Watson.
Yeah, Bubba Job Watson.
Job Watson, righto. Blue Eyes. So in fact, before we get to you, we'll throw in Scotty Gallant. Well, let's get Scotty in the game.
Thank you. I'd like to be involved. I picked Isaac Heaney, but I don't think he'll win.
So what are you picking for?
It's a bit like your Saturday punting exports.
Because Whitey got in ahead of me.
And the reigning champion, the drought breaker.
Back
Michael
to
Felt.
Back. We're going with Zach Merritt because all the others are gone. Gary Waddell from Colac. Gazza, we'll get the cash. Can you?